Good morning. In this series of Lenten vigils, the theme is love. And the reflections are based on Paul's passage in 2 Corinthians. Love is kind, love is patient, love is kind, so on. And we began last time by reflecting on patience, learning to be loving by learning to be patient. And this morning then I'd like to reflect on kindness that in looking for what to give up for Lent, we give up on kindness. And we would ask God for the grace to be more kind. So I'd like to reflect on kindness as a spiritual path or as a way of life. You know, I think we're all familiar with a basic sense of kindness is to be kind, is to be supportive, is to be respectful. To be kind is to be helpful. To be kind is to avoid doing the hurtful thing. But I think what helps take us deeper is to see that the etymology of the word kind, it traces itself back to nature, the word nature, that God creates each thing according to its own kind. That is, God creates trees according to the nature of trees. God creates birds according to the nature of birds. It's also related to next of kin. The word kind is kin, next of kin. And it's related to the phrase mankind, humankind is kind. And therefore, spiritually speaking, we would say that God is so kind, God is so kind, as to create us. That's pretty kind, to give us life. And what is more, God created us in his image and likeness. So God is so kind as to make our nature to be his own nature. God creates us in a kindness in which he makes his own nature to be our God-given godly nature. So infinite kindness has made kindness to be our nature. It is our nature to be kind because God's infinite kindness creates us as that very kindness given to us is our own nature. Now, kindness is not a static or fixed thing. Static is a kindness is a dynamic activity. We're true to our nature by being kind. Just as God's kindness is expressed in the kindness of creating us as acts of kindness in the world, so we're to be true to our nature by acts of kindness. To be an active, kind presence in the world. And so, we're to be kind to our body because God has made our body, the nature of our body is the kindness of God. And we're to be kind to our body, to listen to our body, to not be unkind to our body by doing hurtful things to our body. God's made the nature of our mind to be the kindness of God. The mind is the kindness of God. And therefore, we should be kind to our mind. Be respectful of our mind. Take good care of our mind. We should not be unkind to our mind by indulging in thoughts and attitudes towards ourselves and others that cause suffering. And since all our fellow human beings are the kindness of God, we should be kind to others. We should be kind to them to express or bear witness that we see that they are the kindness of God. And we should treat them the way they deserve to be treated, which is to be treated kindly, is how they deserve to be treated. To refrain from unkindness to our body, to refrain from unkindness to our mind, to refrain from unkindness to others, to refrain from unkindness to all living things, and to the earth. And to be kind by giving ourselves kindly to God, who so kindly gives himself to us, so that in prayer is the reciprocity of kindness, that in prayer we're so kind as to give ourselves kindly to God, who so kindly gives himself to us, which is the intimacy of prayer, kindness, to be kind. Now, we might say what Lent is all about is facing the issue is we don't always tend to be so kind. See, if we were always completely kind, there'd be no Lent because there'd be no unkindness to give up. Unkindness, then, is an opportunity for us to repent of unkindness and learn to be more kind. We might say then the whole essence of the gospel is revealing the kindness of God to us, that we might repent of our unkindness. And here I'd like to say that I was inspired here, and I hope this reflection doesn't get too odd at this point, but I've been reflecting on it. In my home, I have a little library at home, and in this library, I have little things people have given me over the years. And some years ago, someone gave me three statues of the three monkeys. One has his hand over his eyes, see no evil. The next monkey has his hands over his mouth, speak no evil. The other has his hands over his ears, hear no evil. And in this tradition, comes from Asia, sometimes there's a fourth monkey, do no evil, has his hands crossed over his chest. Now, when you read on the history of these monkeys, it's interesting, in the West, for us, we tend to interpret it, the three monkeys, as turning a blind eye to evil. But in Asia, where it originated, it doesn't mean that. It means to see no evil, because ultimately speaking, there is none. Ultimately speaking, there's only the kindness of God. In my therapy office, someone once gave me a blue marble ball, like a globe. And I used to keep it on my desk, and I had the three monkeys turned towards that globe, like the guardians of the world, to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's the essence of therapy, really. So I'd like to reflect on kindness in terms of these monkeys. And I'd like to look at it this way. Do not be so unkind as to be blind to unkindness. Do not be in collusion with evil by remaining silent and pretending the evil isn't there. Whatever unkindness is going on in your home, do not be so unkind as to pretend it is not going on. Whatever unkindness is going on in the church, do not remain so unkind as to stay silent about the unkindness. Whatever goes on in the community, be truly kind by exposing unkindness. Because when we're in collusion with unkindness, the suffering continues and deepens. So expose unkindness. See it and expose it. But here's the key. Expose unkindness kindly. Sometimes people take almost a vindictive pleasure in catching a person doing the shameful thing, like a kind of a delight in talking about it, a kind of a delight, which is very unkind. To expose unkindness kindly and not unkindly. Now, we might say then, exposing unkindness kindly is experiential salvation, really. Imagine you have an invisible wire coming out from your heart, from your body, and the invisible wire is connected to the body of the person you're talking to. So when you talk to them, you feel in their body what they feel in yours and theirs when you talk to them the way you're talking to them. In the tone of your voice, the look in your eye, the innuendo, the little sting, you feel it. You feel it. And so in this kind of empathic attunement with others, we would expose unkindness kindly. You'd expose your own unkindness to your body kindly, which is addiction, the ways we abuse our body. You'd expose the unkindness in your mind, but you'd expose it kindly, with compassionate tenderness. And you'd expose the unkindness in your family, your partner, your brother, your sister, neighbor. You'd expose it kindly. In the courage to kindly expose unkindness, we lay bare the truth. Because just beneath the veil of the unkindness is the infinite kindness that is the true nature of everyone. The essence of Alcoholics Anonymous is that unkindness is exposed kindly, so it's safe to have it exposed. The essence of therapy, really, is you're hoping the therapist won't let you get away with anything. If they let you get away with anything, they're not doing their job. But they don't catch you in the act of the problem to shame you. They catch you in the act of the problem to expose the unkindness to yourself kindly. And you discover this amazing thing, this experiential salvation, to be seen kindly as someone who matters, as someone who's precious. And they expose the unkindness kindly. So when you admit it to yourself, you're free. You're free. You're free from the idolatry of wrongdoing, as if what you did in the past or what you're doing now has the power to name who you are. How unkind that is. Because no wrong in the past, no wrong in the present has the power to name who you are. Only the infinite kindness of God has the power to name who you are. The hymn Amazing Grace, I once was blind, I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see, is really a hymn to the kindness of God, so that when we can expose the unkindness kindly, there's immense gentleness and we're free. That if in Lent we could give up the unkindness of looking the other way and pretending the unkindness isn't there, we'd have the courage to expose it in ourselves and in others. If we'd have the courage to expose it kindly, we would find the kindness of God flowing through ourselves and through each other. This is the essence of our faith. This is the essence of our faith, that in the cross of Jesus, we find God revealing unkindness. Because in looking at love crucified, we can see what we're doing to ourselves. We can see what we do to each other. And Jesus looks out hanging from the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Jesus exposes unkindness kindly. And in this immense tenderness of God, we understand the nature of God. We understand the nature of ourselves and how we are to treat each other. So this then is our meditation and our prayer. We may sit here for 30 minutes and just reflect on the kindness of God. So kind as to give us our body, to give us our mind, to give us our life, to give us the people we live with. And how sweet it is, how good life is, when we're kind to our body, our mind, to the minds and bodies of others. And how suffering arises in our homes and in our life through unkindness. And where has anyone ever approached you and been kind enough to point out the thing you're doing wrong? It is so clear by the tone in their voice. They don't mean it to be unkind. They're doing it out of kindness. And if you can be kind enough not to be defensive and hear it, repent and thank them for it, you're set free. And so we can reflect on this, of how during Lent we could learn to be more kind. And so we might say, another way to look at it when we pray, what if for 30 minutes your intention through your breathing to inhale, realizing the inhalation is the kindness of God. How kind God is to give you this inhalation. Think how hard your day would go without it, really. Where would we be without the kindness of each inhalation? And when you exhale, return yourself in kindness to the kindness of God. and sit in a kind of quiet reciprocity of kindness. Now, if you try to sit that way for 30 minutes, you'll discover you waver in it, because you'll be into sleepiness, distraction, half-heartedness, and you will catch yourself in your infidelity to being steadfast in wakeful kindness. But let it be exposed kindly, so that you can see the infinite irrelevance of your failings in the presence of a kindness that takes you to itself. Because this is the thing. We realize we're becoming what we seek. We are becoming what we seek, because what we seek is turning us into itself. That's the great truth of the spiritual life, that love creates likeness, and we are becoming, we are turning into what we seek, because what we seek is turning into itself. And infinite kindness is turning us into acts of kindness, so that we can be the presence of kindness in the world. I invite you to stand. Sit straight, fold your hands, and bow. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be.